Amen. What a blessing it is to hear a word from God. Well, what a blessing to be in His presence. You know, I guess I had my moment too, because I was thinking as we were preparing for service, the psalmist said, "What shall I render unto God for all of His benefits?" Has anyone been blessed with benefits?
Amen.
Has God blessed you in mighty ways? Has God done some miraculous things for you? Then what shall I render unto God for all of His benefits unto me? I will take the cup of salvation, and I will call on the name of the Lord. Can we all just say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
And just glad to be in the service one more time. Nothing like the blessing of being in the presence of God. Can we say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
Amen. So we truly thank God. You know, on Sunday, in which we will continue, we were dealing with our itch. Oh, that itch has been trying to steal your joy. Amen. You know, we all got something that we're particularly that we're dealing with. It's not all the same, but there's an itch trying to steal our joy. And on Sunday we say, God is turning that itch around. Anybody feel like God's turning around?
Yes.
Even if you don't see it, believe.
Amen.
Amen. And God will turn your it around. So we do bless the Lord. So we're going to just go right to our Bible study. I don't want to ruin your worship. Amen. Nothing like worship. Amen. I was actually reading today, amazingly, on worship. One of the Hebrew, Messianic Hebrews, and he's a Bible scholar. He said he's so tired of going to church, he's looking for worship. He said, get disappointed because people don't know what worship is. He said, worship does not elevate you. Worship is about prostrating yourself before God. He said, worship is all about God giving you my all. But I'm lowering myself and I'm elevating you. That's what worship is. It's not about being seen. It's not about how you can run, how much you can jump, how pretty your voice is. It's about just giving your all to God. That's what worship is. Amen. Well, how do we know is that? Because Job, after he lost everything, he did what? Worship. When Job was still in pain, he did what? Worship. So worship is not about your present condition. Because if we bring worship, grace in our present condition, guess what? Most of us would not worship. Amen. Every morning I get up there, I make it a habit. I do my worship before I pray. Amen. If a Syrophoenician woman, amen, and a centurion can get God, Jesus' attention for worship, I'm going to worship.
Yes.
Amen. And to the point he said, I found so great faith, no, not in Israel. So worship does something about getting you in God's presence. Amen. It's a disconnect from this world. Worship is a disconnect from this world, but it's a direct connection to God. And if those that don't know God can worship, how much should those of us that know God worship? Amen. But they both had a need, and their needs were met because they did what? Worship. Job had a need, and eventually the Lord gave him double what he had because he learned to worship. So before you pray in the morning, worship God. You know what worship is doing? You're dethroning yourself. You're just humbly debasing yourself and saying God is all about you. Before you ask God, before you thank God for anything, just worship Him. And you're getting God's presence. Can we say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
So once again, like I said, we all got something that's eating at the core of our souls. Something trying to discourage us. We all have something that is actually trying to break us. Amen. But aren't you glad you know who the Lord is? Aren't you glad you know who God is? He said, I'll be with you always. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. So I'm just going to read a scripture that we went over on Sunday, Psalms 30, verses 1 through 12. Then we'll go through this. Now, I won't finish this, but who is... brave enough if I give you the notes. I already know, Mac, you ain't going to do it. Who will finish the notes next Wednesday because I won't be here. Amen. Carol, all right, we'll give you the notes. You can finish next Wednesday. So if you're going to finish next Wednesday, then Minister Simon, then I won't be here next Sunday either. So you can get next Sunday. You ain't preaching Sunday.
Yeah.
Well, this is really the third, this Sunday is the third Sunday, but I'm flipped. I just switched because I won't be here next Sunday. Amen. Next Sunday, right. Not this Sunday, next Sunday. So they give you a whole week or something to prepare. Amen. All right, so we got all that in the garden. That's an easy thing. All right, so let's go to Psalm, the 30th division of Psalm. And you know, it's such a wonderful thing. God's word should be more than just something we skim through or read. We should learn to apply His word to our heart.
Amen.
Of the scripture, the psalm said, "Thy word have I did what?
Hid
in my heart that I might not sin against God." So you wonder how people, we read so many people, let me reverse it, read so many people are going against God because they don't read His word. And because their word is not down in His heart. Because when your word is down in His word is down in your heart like it should be, you'll be like Jeremiah said, "I don't feel like going to church tonight." But His word was in my heart like a burning fire, shut up in my bone. Amen. We got to get His word in our heart. So Psalm 30 verse 1 is when David dedicates his house. After all of his ups and downs, David finally dedicates his house. He said, "I will extol thee, O Lord, for thou hast lifted me up and has not made my foes to rejoice over me. O Lord my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast..." Anybody need healing?
Yes.
No use in crying out to the doctors or anybody else is trying to cry out to God. He said, "Thou hast healed me. O Lord, thou hast brought up my soul from the grave. Thou hast kept me alive, that I should not go down to the pit. Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of His." Man, David was reflecting for a moment. He said, "You know what? I was so messed up." He said, "But look what God has done."
Amen.
He said, "So I can't help but praise Him."
Yes.
He said, "Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of His, and give thanks at the remembrance of His holiness. For His anger endured but a moment, and His favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night." Anybody looking for a morning joy? Or is anybody looking for a morning joy? But joy coming in the morning. He said, "And in my prosperity, I said, I shall..." We need to pass it out to some saints. As God is blessing you, don't you get moved. Amen. As God is making way for you, ain't no use in you taking time off on God. When God bless you, you owe Him more and not less. Can we say hallelujah?
Lord,
by thy favor, thou hast made my mountain to stand strong. Thou didst hide thy face, and I was troubled. I cried to thee, O Lord, and unto the Lord I made supplication. What profit is there in my blood when I go down to the pit? Shall the dust praise thee? Shall I declare thy truth? Hear, O Lord, and have mercy upon me. Lord, be thou my helper. Thou hast turned from me my... I used to be weeping and crying. I used to be in lamentation, but now I'm dancing. Thou hast put on my sackcloth and girded me with gladness, to the end that my glory may sing praise to thee and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks unto thee forever. Can we just say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
So this is David after dedicating the house of God. How many know David had his ups and downs?
Amen.
David had his encounters with God. But in the end, David realized one of the most important things ever. He said, "Lord, cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit away from me." He said, "Lord, in the end, I know I've been broken. I know I've been running. I messed up." He said, "But Lord, if I can ask you one thing, just restore to me the joy of thy salvation." Not my salvation, but what? Thy salvation. Because God's salvation, when God gives you salvation, God knows that we all human are going to mess up, right? The Bible said, "Know the end from the what? Beginning." So before you mess up, God already saw that mess up. But God said, "I can restore you if you come back to me the right way. Blessed is the man whose transgressions are and whose sins are forgiven, whose transgressions are covered. How many want to be blessed? Lord, I just confess my wrong. Amen? Well, let us go to our notes. So the beginning of our notes on the cover page say, God is turning the thing that was trying to break you, that it. God is doing what? He's turning it into a blessing. The thing that tried to destroy you, God is turning it into a blessing. And our scripture that we use on Sunday was, Thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. Thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness. Amen. We know Job sit down in sackcloth and ashes. This is a mourning, a time of affliction. But he said, you've turned it around. Anybody want God just to turn it around?
Amen.
Amen. Well, he can do it. So let us go to our notes, Psalm 31 through 12. All right. So it says, I will extol. Now, I thought it's important. We know extol is praise, but it's not just a regular praise. He said, I will extol. You know what he's extolling? He's extolling all his failures. You know, the psalm said, if you could see what he brought me from, to where I am today, then you know the reason why I love him so. Can anybody just imagine what you used to be? Ups and downs and shortcomings and failures. So David is beginning, he's dedicating this house. But in dedicating this house, he's remembering all of his failures, shortcomings. Amen. Times that he let God down. And he said, I will extol. This means to be high. This is kind of praise. It's a high praise. He said, I'm going to raise my praise up. Now, it's not one of those quiet little, quiet little praise. He's extolling. And we know if anybody knew how to praise God, David knew how to praise God. Remember when they brought the ark back? The Bible said he praised God so hard, he praised him out of his robe. Right, that's a praise. Amen. He wasn't ashamed to praise God. His wife was ashamed. Man, don't you be ashamed to praise God. His wife was ashamed. And she got on him. And you know what? God said, listen, you get to this praise. So from this point on, you won't have a child ever. That's how God saw it. He said, you tried to enter his praise. So from this point on, you'll never have a child. Because you got in the way of him worshiping God. You got in the way of his praise. Did y'all know that? That she never had a child? Well, that's right. You can read about that. Alright, let's keep going. Alright? So it's an exalted, inaccessible praise. It's out of reach. Now this is why when he's praising God, he says, this praise ain't like a normal praise. I'm praising God to the point that nobody can praise him like you praise him. Amen. Raised to an elevated preferred position as unattainable. That's how he was praising God. He said, I'm going to praise God to a point that's going to be so high, so lifted up, nobody else can get to that position. Can we say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
He said, I will extol thee, O Lord, for thou hast lifted me up and hast not made my foes to rejoice over me. And this term for lifted me up is like drawing water out of a well. Right? He said, you lifted me up, Lord, it's like drawing water out of the well. Why? Because it's well joy. That we draw water out of the wells of salvation. Oh, the depth of God wretches. Amen. So we lose the meaning in English. But when we go back to the Hebrew, so he says it's like drawing water out of the well. But what happens when you draw water out of the well? You get salvation and you get joy. Can we say hallelujah? Oh Lord, my God, I cry unto thee, and thou hast healed me. Oh Lord, thou hast brought up my soul from the grave. Now, the actual word should have been Sheol instead of grave. And we know Sheol has more than one meaning. Sheol could be, actually, everyone that died prior to Jesus went to Sheol. It's a place of departure, the place of the waiting. It could be either the place of paradise or it could be the place of torment. So everybody went to Sheol prior to Jesus' death. All right? It's just a place of the departed dead. That's what Sheol is. Well, we know he's not talking about being dead. All right, so this Sheol has another meaning. So Sheol is nearly always used of the gloom and hopelessness associated with someone not prepared to meet the Lord. He said, listen, there was a point But look what God has done for me. He says, so you brought my soul from that point. I imagine in his mind, he said, Lord, I ask you to restore the joy of thy salvation. Can we just say, thank God he restored it? Amen. Anybody ever went to the point in your life where you just didn't have that joy anymore? Amen. Where becoming, being saved was just one day and just an everyday thing? Don't you want to have excitement about God? Every day I wake up, it's a new excitement. There's a new joy. Amen. There's a new thing that God has done for me. He said, you died, brother, my soul from the grave. God has kept me alive that I should not go down to the pit. And this means one used as a cistern or in a prison. He said, I could have been in a prison. Like Jesus went down and preached to those souls that were in prison. He said, if I had died unprepared to meet God with the shield, I would have been in prison. Nobody could have got us out of prison because the way a tree falls, the way it's going to what? Lie. So David said, if I had died in the state of unpreparedness to meet God, I would have been in prison. Not a temporary prison, but a what? Permanent prison. Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness, and it really means his holy name. For his anger endures but a moment. Now when we think of God and moment and time, remember, time has no bearing on God, because God is eternal. God existed from eternity, the scripture says from eternity to eternity, what? Now our God. Ever before the mountains were, God was here. So God has always been here, God will always be here, so time has no bearing on God. So if God tells us, and this is where we as humans get in trouble, because God tells us he's going to do something, and if he doesn't do it within a month, we get discouraged. But who made the promise? The eternal one. So when the eternal one makes a promise, he doesn't make the promise based on time, because time has no bearing with him. Amen. So time for him, for God, meant nothing. So he said the only way he compared his anger is like a wing. That's how his anger is. You know, we have anger. You know, we all get anger. Right? Anger, it really means your nose. Have you ever seen people get so mad their nose? This is what it says about this anger. Right? Nose flare up, turn beet red, right? Turn all kinds of colors. God's anger is a wink. I wink. That's his anger. It deals with it. I don't know if this is some of you have popped, is that okay? All right. So I'm saying that's how God looks at anger. So what we as saints need to learn to do in dealing with God, remember, when God makes us a promise, it's not based on time. Because time means nothing to God. So you just stay faithful. And in God's own time, he will turn it around. He didn't say a month or a year or 2 years or 3 years. You weren't Joseph for 30 years. You were Abraham for 25 years. Amen. God will turn it around in this time. Why? Right? Because time to God means nothing. For the Lord, one day is as a what? 1,000 years. And 1,000 years as?
One day.
One day. How many of us live 1,000 years? God said to me, that's just a day. So when we're dealing with God and his promises, don't ever get discouraged if it doesn't happen when you think it should happen. Right? We were trying to get in this church. A lot of people got discouraged because 1 year went by, almost 2 years went by. Matter of fact, my wife and I went to meet with the gentleman that was selling the church. He said, wait a minute, well, we've been waiting for you all for 2 years to get this church. God put some timeliners on him. Oh, I remember. He said, 2 years, I'm going to give you all another month. He said, I got people waiting in the background with cash that can buy this place. And then we found out he did really had it. But God was working in our behalf. So people were discouraged because the first year went by, it didn't happen. Year and a half went by, it didn't happen. But when did it happen? God's on time. Right? That's why God told the man to write the vision for a gift for an appointed time. When something is done in the appointed time, God said, don't worry about how it's going to take place, it's going to happen. He told Abraham and Sarah, she shall have a child this year and next year at the appointed time. So when God has an appointed time, he does not have to explain that or detail it out for us. We just have to believe. Amen? Yeah. So his anger endures but a moment. and the Hebrew word for moment in Riga is like a wink, a very short, short space of time. Amen. I heard Bishop, I don't know who all heard Bishop Bowler preach. He said, when the Lord comes back and appears in the sky, he said, when he blows the trumpet, it's like you're going to close your eyes on this side of eternity, on this side of time and time. When you open up your eyes, you'll be in eternity. The dead things. Right? That's why God's anger is dead things. Right? God doesn't stay angry like we do. Amen. Somebody mess with us, next year we're still angry. Right? Amen. Bible said, let not the sun go down on your wrath. So we can make a comparison to this scripture. Say, his anger endures for the moment, and his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Then you kind of understand what God says, that you don't let the sun go down on your wrath. You know what he's saying? He said, I want you to have the same character that I have. My anger is short-lived. I want your anger to be short-lived. Right? And he said, and another thing he said, I read as I was reading today about his anger, God never gets so angry that he loses control. God is always possesses his anger, so he's in control. So God is trying to paint a picture for us and say, listen to me, I just lost. You don't know what they no, you're not supposed to lose it. We're saved. You know what I mean? So how can you lose it? Especially since the sun's not supposed to go down on your wrath. Right? That's just a tidbit. Let's keep going. In his favor, favor is raised on, it means acceptance. What is acceptable because meeting necessary standards. So now this is all leading up to God turning your situation around. So what's been happening, a lot of times people try to force God to turn their situation around, but they're not meeting the standards. Right? God turns our situation around based upon us following his standards. We cannot rewrite them, we cannot redefine them. Amen. We have to walk in the light as he's in the light. And then he would turn it around. It means fully satisfactory, accepted favorably, delight-driven willingness. Amen. So this is God. But God said, this is what I also want my people to possess. His character. The reason that we're saved, and the reason God saved all of us, is for us to have his character. His character is what takes us there. That's why we have the Holy Ghost. For because the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness, meekness, temperance, right? Against us there is no law. So God saved us and gave us his Spirit so that we would take on his character. You understand? So you say, well, you can tell when someone is not praying in the Holy Ghost like they ought to because they do not have his character. Amen? And in my prosperity, he said, let me go back, I didn't do joy. It said, in his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but what?
Joy.
Now, David is writing this after his failures, but now God has blessed him. He said, in my prosperity, I shall not be moved. So he's in a place that God is blessing him. So joy is the Hebrew word rena. It means a ringing cry sounding out with jubilation. Like joy is shouting and excited singing. So David said, listen, my praise ain't going to be quiet. Amen. I'm going to shout out. Why? Because I got joy. Not because of what I was, but look what God has done for me. And anybody that's look back at where you were, when you all messed up and see what God has done for you, then you ought to be doing a rhythm. You ought to be shouting out. You ought to be having a crying, loud, singing praise to God. Hallelujah. He said, in my prosperity, I said, I shall never be moved. And move is the Hebrew word ot, which means to teeter, totter, shake, slip, because slip or become this, not because or become this lies. In other words, the prosperity is I'm in a place of security. I'm in a place of safety. Why I'm in God. That was the problem. Not all those blessings again. Sometimes our English word changes the whole meaning of the scripture. The prosperity was not that you gain all your wealth, but the prosperity was into the security and safety of God. He said, as long as I'm in God's security and safety, I cannot be moved. Nothing can dislodge me. Why? God is holding me. God is upholding me, so I cannot be dislodged. The Lord, by thy favor, thou hast made my mountain to stand strong. Thou didst hide thy face, and I was troubled. I cried to thee, O Lord, and unto the Lord I made supplication. What profit is there in my blood when I go down to the pit? Shall the dust praise thee? Shall I declare thy truth? Hear, O Lord, and have mercy upon me. Lord, be my helper. Amen. I'll read there. The only thing I can think of is in John, when it talks about 1 John, I think, yeah, 1 John, it talks about how the Lord is going to be our secure, he's going to be our helper, our aid, our strength. Amen. Whatever you find in the Old Testament, there's some mirror of it in the New Testament. So he said, Lord, you're going to be my helper. Amen. That thou hast turned. Now this is the word we for turn in Hebrew is hefet. Means to turn over, to turn around, to redirect, to change, to overthrow. So he said, listen, everything that was bad, God said, I'm overthrowing that. That stuff that was trying to help hold you back and break you, he said, I'm overturning that. He said, the stuff that thought it had you bound, God said, I've changed that. It's been an overthrow. Amen. As in Genesis 19, this is an example of overthrow. Genesis 19, 21, when dealing with Lot, and he said unto him, see, I have accepted thee concerning this thing, that I will not. So he back is like an overthrow. Genesis 19, 25. And he overthrew those cities in the plain, and all the inhabitants of the cities, that which grew upon the ground. So Hanak to overthrow me, God changes things. Right? So at one point Solomon the war was fine, but God changed it. He completely annihilated them. He overthrew them. Right? So when God's going to turn things around, he changes it according to his mind and not ours. When God changes things, he changes it according to his mind and not ours. Do we understand that?
Yes,
amen. So he says, for me, my mourning into dancing, thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness. All right? And what I thought Otis was going to be here. This is his prayer. This is his prayer. Amen. We let's read Isaiah, starting with 61, verse 1. Now we know that Jesus also repeats this in Luke, the 4th chapter, the 18th verse, where he talks about the anointing of the Lord as what? Upon me. When his anointing is upon me. So Isaiah said, the Spirit of the Lord is
upon me.
Jesus said, his anointing is upon me. So the anointing has to be the Spirit of the Lord, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim
liberty.
Lord, if anybody came in captive, God can set you free. That's what we always say on Sunday. You should never leave out of church the same way you came in. And if you came in church on a high, when you leave out of church, you're going to be on a super high. You should never come in church on a high and leave on a low. Because if you do, you miss God's mind. Because God never takes us down, he takes us up. If you come in on a low, you should never leave on a low. Because you're in God's presence. When you get in God's presence, he changes stuff. He remanufactures it. He makes ways out of nowhere when you get in his presence. So when you came in church worried and trouble, and you leave out of church worried and trouble, then you miss the anointing. Because the anointing sets the captive free. Are you all with me? So the anointing don't. So I was in church and I had nothing and I didn't feel nothing, then the problem was not the anointing. Right? The anointing, the problem had to be you. Why? Because the anointing proclaimed liberty to the captive and opened the prison to them that are. You come in now and you get in God's presence, you leave the same way, the problem was not God. Right? You miss the anointing. God is moving all around you, and this is why the devil is so strong. And everything in church is happening in your mind, not even there. Your mind is somewhere else. The word of the God is pouring out blessings all around you, and you miss your blessing because your mind is displaced. Your mind is worried about something that's going to happen or something that happened in the past. That's why good prayer is, Lord, I want you to help me to get over my yesterdays.
Yes.
Lord, I want you to bless me to get past my today. Then, Lord, I want you to bless me even for what's going to come tomorrow. You know what? I'm in a place of God. No matter what happened, what has happened, what will happen, or what's coming, I'm all right. Because Jesus Christ is saved yesterday, today, and forever. To him who, which was, which is, and which is to come. Lord, take me to that place. Lord, take me to that place. Change me. I don't care what was. I don't care what it is. I don't care what is to come. Lord, just help me to be like Jesus. Can we say praise the Lord? Amen. It says, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of God said, vengeance is mine, I will repay. Amen. To comfort all that what he has turned my mourning into dancing because of the anointing. So it's so important, that's why it's important to come to church. You can't get his anointing outside of church like you get it in church. And a whole lot of people are troubled. Amen. I spoke to someone, texted the other day because they didn't answer their phone. They said, I just need to talk. No, you need to come to church. Because when you come into his presence, God changes you. Listen, I don't care who it is. I don't care how long you've been saved. When you miss church repeatedly, it works on your spiritual man. Right? Then your spiritual man is decreasing instead of increasing. Why? Because the Bible says, forsake not the assembling of yourself together as a man of some is. Why don't you want to forsake? Because you miss your blessing from the anointing. Amen? To pour unto them that mourn in Zion, to give up to them for to them beauty. God knows what he's turning stuff around. Because of the anointing, right? So you came in with ashes. God said, I'm going to turn those ashes into beauty. And all of joyful mourning. He said, listen, you're not going to just have a weak praise. I want to give you the what? You're going to wear praise like it's your clothes. You're going to be wrapped up in praise. Praise is going to completely encircle you. It's a garment of praise. Why? Because of the anointing. Amen. The garment of praise for the spirit of. So what's God doing? He's changing the stuff that had you tied up and wrapped up and bound. God is reorienting. God is changing it. He said, you're not going to be in heaven. You're going to have the all of joy. Amen. That they might be called trees of righteousness. The what? Planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. God said, listen, I'm about to change some stuff. You know I want God to change some stuff? The anointing can change some stuff. I came in broken, but Lord, you anointed. Your touch and changed me. Hallelujah. And then and they shall build me what? Old places. Well, the anointing is what? Changing. The anointing is reorienting. So he's doing, he's rebuilding. The old ways, they shall raise up forever, raise up the former desolation, and they shall repair the waste city, the desolation of many. Why? Because of God's anointing. Lord, just come to church, just give me the anointing. Amen. I walk out of my house is dilapidated, torn down, but God, the anointing said, you're going to change this. So you don't have to fix that house, just move into a new one. Right? That's what the anointing do. So God can change our situation around when we get into his presence. But if we just get in self, self blocks God's anointing. You can't receive from God when you're caught up in self. And one of the biggest self that you get caught up in is anger. Wrath. Wrath blocks God's anointing. Right? The Spirit of God will be moving all around you. And remember we said earlier about the anger, you got the flat out nose. Right? So I'm Your perspective. When you change your mindset, God said, wait a minute, I'm your God, the curse is lifted. The blessing is gone. Right? So the reason that a lot of people aren't getting the curse lifted is because they don't recognize who God is. And they're serving other gods. Amen? So verse 4 says, because they met you not with bread and with water in the way when you came forth out of Egypt, and because they hide against thee Balaam, the son of Beor, a Pethor of Mesopotamia, to what? God said, listen, you don't even know about it. I'm telling you why they curse. They're cursed because they tried to curse my people. Right? So God was not happy with that. And verse 5 said, nevertheless, the Lord thy God, what? God would not hearken unto Balaam. But the Lord thy God, he backed. Right? He turned it. He redirected. He overthrew it. He changed it from unfavorable to what? Favorable. So your it may be unfavorable, but stay with God. Stay faithful to God. God will make that unfavorable it, and he'll turn around and make it favorable. He said, he turned the curse into a blessing unto thee. Because the Lord thy God, what? Love thee. Now, Romans 8, we all, you know, we quote scriptures, but I wonder how many of us actually live the scriptures we quote. Remember Dr. Lou Jackson used to say, Lord, help me to live the life I sing about. Help me to live the life I testify about. Help me to live the life I talk about. So a whole lot of people talking, but they're not living what they're talking. They're not living what they're singing. Amen. So they know God's word, but God's word is only on their lips. And Isaiah said, with their lips they draw nigh to me, but their hearts are what? Far from me. So what God wants us as a saint, as saints and people of God to do is, I want the heart to be with me. I'm not interested in your outward display, I need your heart. Because man is an outward appearance. God is the heart. So Romans 8:28 says, and we know that what? Work together for good to them that what? So stop. How many of us love God?
Amen.
How many love God?
Amen.
Well, don't let that it make you lose your focus on God. Because you love God, God just said all things work together for what?
Good.
Don't worry about the interval in between where I am and where I'm going to get the blessing. Because you love God, he said, you know. Did he say we guess? Did he say we try to figure it out? We what?
No.
That.
All
that it. That thing that's bothering you. God said it's going to work and it's going to turn around. Right? Because you love me and I love you. Right? And to them who are called according to. That's when we get in trouble. Because we're here, but a lot of us are not fulfilling his purpose or his will. So because we're not fulfilling God's purpose and will, listen, I don't have to tell anyone that's not doing the right thing, they're not doing the right thing, because their conscience is the means of accusing or excusing them according to the scripture. So because your conscience is the means of accusing or excusing you, when you're not doing God's word according to his will, your conscience won't let that hate go. So that it works on you because your conscience says, I know I'm not doing the right thing. So since you know you're not doing the right thing, then you don't have the assurance that it's going to work for the good. But when you get in God like you ought to, when you stop fighting God and just let God have his way, then you're working according to his purpose. Then when I'm doing it according to his purpose, God will turn it around. Do you understand that? So whatever your situation is, don't leave out of here like you came in. This ain't for y'all, this is for the internet. People act like God don't know what he's doing anymore. He said, I know the thoughts I have towards you.
Yes.
Thoughts of peace and not even to give you.
Yes.
You know what the scripture means? God said, listen, I have your whole future is a hope. I know what I think towards you. You can't figure it out right now. You don't understand the direction I'm taking you, but do you trust me? Because if you trust me, you know it's going to work together for good. If you don't trust me, you're going to pull all your hair out, right? difference. Gotcha. Right? So when you don't trust God like you do, you don't have a peace. Right? Someone can tell you something good and it's evil. Because your perspective is wrong, because you just not where you ought to be in God. So when you're getting God like you ought to get in God, amen. Even if the devil does something against you, you'd be like David when Shimei, the bloody Benjamite, cursed and called him a bloody Benjamite. He said, I'll take it this day because God is going to requite me for good, for the evil that I suffer today. Right? When your mind is in the right place, you don't be out to retaliate, or go back at people because I'm in the right place. So God, okay, we're going to have a lot of scriptures to go over next week. I got 30 pages, I'm on page 8. Alright, but I'm saying you won't be like me anyway. You got to get in God like you ought to get in God. So then you learn not to retaliate with people, right? Because it's going to work together for good because I trust God. My trust said, listen, you can do everything you can against me, but I trust God. Because I trust God, I know it's going to turn out for the what? For the good. So, verse 31. What shall we then say to? Can we say? Can we read this together? What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, so why do we have joy? Why is that it killing our joy? Because we don't think God is for us. Get in God like you are. Right? 4:35-39. And the same thing. Now, this is the Hebrew, this is the Greek equivalent of the Hebrew hefet. Alright? This is the Greek equivalent. Mark 4:35. And the same day when the evil was come, he said unto them, let us pass over to thee. Who's speaking? Jesus, right? If Jesus said, let us pass over to the other side, guess what? That's all you need. That should have been the total confidence. He didn't say we might pass over. He said we're going to do what?
Pass over.
No matter what the devil did, no matter what storm came, right? It could have been a hurricane, a volcano, an earthquake, all in the same place. He said you're going to go to the other side.
Amen.
So nothing's going to stop, right? So that's resting in his word. When you trust God's word, then when you get a test, you realize it's nothing more than a test, right? Because he already said we're going over. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with them other little ships. So guess what? The same storm they were in, there were others in that storm too. Right? They weren't the only ones in the storm. And there arose a, what kind of storm? What kind of storm? This was not a normal storm. This was a great storm. And the waves beat to the ship, so they was now full. And as he was in the hinder part of the ship asleep on a pillow, and they awake him and spake up and say unto him, Master, care not that we, they are in this night. He said, we're going to the other side. So how could they perish? Right? How could they perish? His word said we're going over. But they did not fully trust in his word. Right? Because if they trusted his word, they would have said, Lord, we're going to make it. But they didn't say how. They said, care not that we perish. And he arose and did what? Alright, so this is now, what he did, he turned it around. What was an unfavorable situation, he turned around and made it favorable. So the Greek word, which is the equivalent of hefet in epitimeo, means turning something around. So what did the Lord do? He turned that storm. But what happened? He turned around. He did what?
Spoke
to it. In all my situations, all God has to do is. How did he form the whole world? He. If he can speak this world into existence,
yes.
You mean God can't speak to your little problem and change it?
Amen.
Just think about that. He spoke the whole world into existence. He can speak to your problems. So it means to turn something around, that is to avoid something undesirable from happening. So he rebuked the wind and said to the sea, what?
Peace
be still. And the wind ceased, and there was? I'm like, this Mark explanation, because the calm was equal to the storm.
Amen.
It was a great storm to Gabriel.
He didn't
just give him a regular calm. Right? So in all of our situations, God will give you your deliverance commensurate with your trouble if you trust him. Amen. In Psalm, after me, literally means to assign appropriate value, which is essential to give direction for needed change or improvement. Epitomeo mainly expresses warning or correction. I'm going to start on this page. Warning or correction necessary to keep a situation what? So he's going to keep a situation bad on track, preventing from becoming something undesirable or getting off course. So when God turns the situation around, he says, I'm not going to let this situation get the better of you if you trust me. And remember, he told the children of Israel, he said, I allow you to suffer. He said, I allow you to hunger. I allow you to go through these things in the wilderness. I just want to know what? What was in your heart? So there are many times God will permit us to go through stuff to see what was in our heart. And he said, ultimately, I want to know whether you will keep my commandments or not. So God allowed them to go through that to see what was in their heart. Jesus used epitomeo for preventing an illness or a storm from going too far. Matthew 28:26 says, he said unto them, why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. So once again, their problem was they didn't have confidence to trust in God's word. So when you don't have faith in God, then you have fear. But Mr. Simon said, I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. He has rescued me. All right, let's keep going. I ain't going to say it tonight. I'm doing it all this time. All right, let's go to Luke 4:39. All right, I don't want to get to Genesis 2. Luke 4:39. And he stood over her. This is Pete when Peter's mother was sick. He stood over her and did what? He turned it around. Right? He changed it from an unfavorable situation to a favorable situation. He rebuked the fever and it did what? Left her. And immediately she arose and... Have you ever seen God deliver so many people? They'd be all excited and then they come back to church. They miss it. God delivered you and did all that for you, and you did not minister unto him for what he's done to you. But Peter's mother, Simon's mother, be correct, when he healed her, she ministered unto him. How many have God set free from the slaves, from the chains of sin, and they don't have enough presence of mind to stay in church and minister to serve him? Accordingly, the illness and storm were turned around in keeping with God's overall plan. That is, did not go on to their natural ending. And can I just finish? Let's finish Genesis, the 14th chapter. This Joseph, actually, no, I'll let it. But you cannot allow whatever is unfavorable or unpleasant to cause you to lose your place in God. When God does something for you, and it's been exceptional, and you know it was God, you should have everybody come and pay your vows to God. The psalmist said, what shall I render unto the Lord for all of his benefits unto me? He said, I will take the what?
Cup of salvation.
And I will call on the name of the Lord. And he said, I will pay my vows. So a lot of people like to stop by, take the cup of salvation, call on the name of the Lord. He said, yes, but you also have to pay your vows. How many of us have made vows to God? And this is your own personal thing. How many of us have made vows to God? You know, the old, you know, especially all those men that went to Vietnam, man, made those vows. Lord, if you get me out of here, I come back, I serve you till I die. A lot of came back and started serving, but they didn't finish it, right? When you make a vow to God, you are to keep it, right? And in your spare time, if you want to know what how God sees vows, read Ecclesiastes, the 5th chapter. It talks about opening your mouth and making a vow to God and not keeping it. For we got saved, that vow was blotted out, serve you forever. Then if we make that vow, we got served, how will so many backslide? Think about that. Right? So God can turn our situation around if we want. If we stay the course, if we stay with Him. Can we, I just want to go to, go to your last page. All right, I just want to read this one verse. This one verse, this was about, and y'all go over it again later. This is when Achan had sinned. God gave them specific command, or commandment, not to touch the accursed thing. Amen. He said, if you touch the accursed thing, you're going to experience my fierce anger. Right? So he told them, and we know Achan did the opposite. Right? And this is why I believe a lot of people in church get in trouble because they think they get stinking eye stuff. And God don't know it. But God does know it. So he took the Babylonian garment and the accursed thing, and he went and hid them in the ground in his tent. And God knew it. And when Israel would fight, a small group of would lose it. When Joshua began to cry, God said, Joshua, stop crying. He began to get up that sin in the camp. Go find out what's going on, all right? And let's go to verse 25. It says, Joshua said, why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day. And all Israel stoned him with stones and burned them with fire after they had stoned them with stone. And they raised over him a great heap of stone unto this day. So the Lord what? The fierceness of his anger was turned. Right? So God can turn in your favor. And if you're disobedient, God can turn to your unfavor. Right? So it's so important for God to turn our situation around. We have to be obedient to his word. Can we say amen? All right, do we have any comments, any questions? Before we go any further, any comments, any questions? Amen. No, Carol, I did. You only have to do 19.